Let's go out and talk with Zach Pohl, who's the Executive Director of Progress Michigan. Zach, how are you?
I'm great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Progress Michigan. What are you all about?
Sure. Well, we're a citizens group that looks out for Michigan's middle-class families. That's really what we're focused on.
What's your take on Paul Ryan being named the vice presidential running mate to Mitt Romney?
I think it's a very high risk and low reward, frankly. It's going to be interesting to see how they roll this out, because Paul Ryan's got a very clear record of pushing a budget plan that would essentially privatize Social Security and Medicare, which would just devastate Michigan seniors. Also would continue to give more tax perks to wealthy CEOs and corporations and hurt middle-class families in Michigan. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how the next few days go, because I don't know how they can cover up that record.
When you talk about programs and benefits for seniors, if we give them everything that they've had in the past or that they have now, how are we going to pay for it?
Well, I think it's very clear that Social Security and Medicare are programs that work. The problem is that we've had politicians who have been making some other poor decisions that hurt the long-term budget decisions in this country. The Bush tax cuts are a great example. We'll just continue to devastate and have a devastating impact on the deficit here in America if we don't do something to end these generous tax perks for the wealthiest 1%. And, they're slated to expire here at the end of the year, and hopefully Congress can come together and reach an agreement that would extend those tax cuts for middle-class families and let them expire for the wealthiest. And ultimately, that'll go a long distance towards preserving programs like Social Security and Medicare.
Zach, how much of the tab should the wealthy pick up when it comes to the slack, the lack of funding that we have for so many programs, when it comes to the debt that we have? How much should the wealthy be responsible for?
Well, they should pay their fair share. Unfortunately, that's just not what's happening right now. Tax rates are at some of the lowest historical levels for the wealthiest in America, and we need them to start paying their fair share, and that just hasn't been the case since the Bush tax cuts were signed into law about 11 years ago now. And as we're seeing, programs like Social Security and Medicare that work are being put on the chopping block instead of some of these generous tax cuts. And also, frankly, we need to be more aggressive in ending loopholes for corporations that ship jobs overseas. Essentially, we're giving perks to corporations that send jobs to China and Mexico instead of encouraging them to invest here in America in sectors like renewable energy that are going to help create jobs over the long term.
So what do you think happens to those companies should you take away the Bush tax cuts, should you take away the perks and all that they get and receive?
Well, hopefully they start paying their fair share and we can start getting this deficit under control instead of shifting the burden on the
middle-class family. Zach, that's what I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm trying to understand, what is a fair share? Can you give me a number, a dollar amount, a percentage?
Well, it's not what they're paying now, but part of the problem with like Mitt Romney's tax plan is it would actually cut taxes for the wealthiest folks. In fact, the Paul Ryan budget plan, people like Mitt Romney would actually only pay 1% in federal income taxes, while this year we get shifted over to middle-class families. That's just wrong, and that's not what we need in this country right now.
See, what I'm trying to figure out, and as I mentioned to you, I'm just an average guy here trying to figure out how things work. When I look at the Democratic senators here in the state, to Debbie Stabenow and Mr. Levin, those are people who compared to me, they're wealthy. And I don't know how much that means, but when you look at how many Democrats have the means that they have, yet they're the ones that are complaining, and that kind of confuses me.
Well, I think the case could be made that Democrats who are fighting to get rid of tax perks for the wealthiest 1% are not looking out in their own self-interest. They're actually looking out for the middle-class families in this state, which is what they should be doing. Frankly, we need all of our elected officials to have that mindset, and that's just not the case right now. I think people like Debbie Stabenow are doing a great job of fighting for Michigan's middle class, and we just frankly need both parties to start making that their priority.
Is there anyone that could fight for everybody as opposed to the poor, the seniors, the middle class? Is there anyone who looks after everybody?
Well, there's a great old saying from a senator from Minnesota, Paul Wellstone, that we all do better when we all do better. And it's not about pitting one side against the other, but it's about finding, you know, a balanced approach that's going to help lift the middle class. And ultimately, when the middle class does better, the whole economy does better, including those at the very top. We saw that during the 1990s, and that's where we need to get back to right now to get our economy moving again.
You know, Paul Ryan's taking so many hits for cutting benefits for the poor and for seniors, and how he is doing so many things to help the wealthy get wealthier. But here's a guy who is an average middle-class guy. He doesn't have a lot of money. He comes from very poor means, single-parent home, low income. What do you think motivates him?
Well, that's a great question. I you know, I guess I couldn't answer a question to the psyche of Paul Ryan. I will say he's done very well as a politician in Washington. When he first came to Congress, he had very limited personal wealth, and it's grown considerably to several million dollars during his tenure in Congress over the last 13 years or so. And I think it says a lot about where his priorities are, where his personal wealth, just as a member of Congress, has grown, I think, to the range of $2 to $3 million over 13 years, just serving as a member of the Senate, or as a member of the House. You know, having a position where he's been able to write budget and tax policy, he seems to be doing very well while a lot of folks in the middle class suffer. So I don't know that I could claim to say what motivates Paul Ryan to get out of bed every day, but it just doesn't seem to be helping.
Well, it's not that. I would say that Debbie Stabenow and Levin and Congressman John Conyers, they're all wealthy and they have made millions during their tenures.
Actually, I mean, I don't know as much about the wealth of all three of those members. I know actually John Conyers is typically comes out when they put out rankings of wealth of members of Congress. He's usually one of the poorest in the entire House. He actually has negative assets. I couldn't claim to speculate on the personal wealth of some of our own elected officials here in Michigan. But you know, whether they're rich or poor is almost irrelevant. They were elected to do a job, and that's helping to protect the middle class. And like I said, we just need both parties to be making that more of a priority.
So you believe that they were elected just to protect the middle class, so the poor and the rich are just left out in the wilderness?
I think the middle class needs to be our top priority, though, because the middle class is the engine that drives our economy. And again, when the middle class does well, all of us do better. Again, we saw that during the 1990s, you know, record growth in jobs, take-home pay for middle-class families. And when that happened, it helped poverty levels went down. And again, those folks at the very top did pretty well during the 1990s as well, and that's kind of what we need to get back to here in America.
Let's talk about a new report to showcase corporate drafting of Michigan voter suppression, education, health, and health care bills. Tell me about that.
Sure. Today, we're putting out a report called ALEC Exposed in Michigan, which is you know, showcasing the corporate influence that's gone in and drafting a wide range of bills over the last 2 years in the legislature. And for those who don't know, ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is basically, they sort of work as a bill mill for conservative legislators. Basically, the way it works is legislators pay a fee to join ALEC, where they're then linked up with corporate lobbyists and meet behind closed doors to draft legislation hand-in-hand with corporate lobbyists. And, you know, we think that's wrong. We think our legislators were elected to serve the people, not some of these corporations. And as this report shows, there's at least 20 bills just in the last 2 years in the Michigan legislature that very closely monitor these so-called ALEC model bills. I mean, just clear cut-and-paste jobs that were then introduced in the Michigan legislature and in some cases passed and signed into law. That's hardly what our founding fathers intended when they drafted our Constitution, and this report's intended to shine a light on that.
All right. You're going to have a teleconference this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and folks will be able to, members of the media will be able to tie into that. I haven't heard much about ALEC. This is going to be very interesting information.
Absolutely. Well, they've been getting a lot of attention nationally over the last few months. A number of corporations have actually started to cancel their memberships in wake of the Stand Your Ground gun laws that were, you know, so part of the national debate after the Trayvon Martin shooting. That law was actually drafted by ALEC. And so a number of corporations have actually canceled their memberships, including most recently here in Michigan, General Motors just last month canceled their membership to ALEC. And, you know, we think it's time for our lawmakers to do the same, follow GM out the door and cut ties with ALEC because, again, they were elected to, you know, serve the people in their district, not some of these corporate special interests. And so that's what we're trying to shine a light on.
Well, Zach, we appreciate your input. Zach Pohl is the Executive Director for Progress Michigan. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
It's 7:21, Monday morning, 64 degrees, mostly cloudy skies on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.